Can we just lift our hands and thank God for what He's doing there? God, thank you. God, thank you, Father. Thank you for your word. It's true. It's absolutely the truth. And we thank you for everyone, Lord, that's walking in divine health. They're moving in that direction. And Lord, just like this testimony tonight, we're going to help us not to waver with our mouth, with our heart, Father, just to continue to hold fast to the confession of your word. We thank you and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
2 Peter chapter 1. This is a powerful passage of Scripture, and it just covers so much territory, and it's just so exciting to begin to realize not what God's going to do, but what He's already done. You know, faith has a tense. Faith has a tense to it. The Bible kind of faith is present tense. Hope is always future tense. What does that mean? You'll hear people say things like, well, we're praying for you, brother. We're praying for you, you know. And they'll say, boy, we'll say, you know, God has healed you. He healed you 2,000 years ago. Boy, I sure hope so. Well, we said He has, and hope says, I sure hope He's going to someday. And so those two never meet. Hope never meets faith. Hope is always sort of a worldly hope is a, I sure hope it'll happen. And a lot of people think they're believing God, but really they're just hoping. All right? But faith says Jesus already did this. And one of the hardest things to get a hold of in your walk with the Lord is the tense of the word. It's already finished, right? So a lot of our faith is, Romans chapter 4 says that Abraham, or God, when He was talking to Abraham, God calls those things that be not as though they already were. God calls those things that be not as though they already were. So faith is not going to, God's going to, I'm going to. Faith is, even though you can't see it right now with your natural eyes, I say I already am and I already have it. Faith says I have it when others can't tell that you have it. All right, faith has it here and has it in here before it shows up anywhere else. One of the strongest declarations of faith is, I have it, it's mine, I have it now. I have it now. Now, when you start talking that way, you know, just because you say that with your mouth out of your head doesn't mean that was real revelation faith. But I'll be honest with you, if you start talking that way, your mouth will lead your heart over into revelation. And one day you'll say, I'm healed, and your heart goes, yes, you are. And that's the day you know I've got it. And everybody looks at you like, well, no, nothing's changed. Look at you. No, something's changed. So I see something on the inside. My mouth led my heart into victory. So, you know, step out talking by faith. Talk and declare by faith. You ought to declare that your house is totally paid for. Amen. My house, I'm totally debt-free. You should be saying, I am debt-free. I am debt-free. I don't care how much debt. See, if there's a mountain of debt, Jesus says you can move it with your mouth. But don't say the mountain's going to move. You declare as if it already has been through the work of Jesus, I'm debt free. And you'll be amazed if you'll hold fast to that for a while. That'll begin to become a revelation in your heart. And when your mouth and your heart get into agreement with the Word of God, all hell can't stop it from coming to pass. Nothing can stop it from coming to pass. Let's just practice it right now. Say it out loud. I have it. It's mine. Right now. That's faith talking. Amen. So get your mouth moving, even though your heart's not totally there yet. Begin to talk by faith, and your heart will begin to respond. Hallelujah. You can school your heart into faith. You can school. You can start saying things in agreement with the word out of your head. That's not necessarily faith. That's confessing unto faith. But as you continue to hold fast to your agreement with the word, the confession of your mouth will create the reality in your heart. And when your mouth and heart get into agreement, whoo, it doesn't move God. It taps into what God's already provided. Faith is the hand that reaches into the realm of Christ and pulls into this natural realm what's already yours in the spirit. The hand of faith. Now, what's one of the scriptures you can base this on? 2 Peter chapter 1. And I'll be honest with you. There's just some people you don't need to talk faith around. Because the minute you talk faith, they'll talk doubt and unbelief. There's just some people, just keep your faith to yourself. Now, that doesn't mean you're ashamed of it. And there are some people, the Holy Ghost will lead you to be real bold around them. But there's just some people, you need to get you some faith buddies that are crazy enough to believe the word even though you look like you're about to die. Right? And you won't have many in life, but you can, if you get two or three, you're doing good. If you'll remember, Holy Spirit, I'm trying to get to my message here. If you'll remember the Israelites, Moses sent 12 spies to go spy out the land that God says was already theirs. A land flowing with milk and honey. A land that had grapes so big you had to carry them between two men on a pole. Can you imagine a grape the size of a grapefruit? I mean, we think grapes, God thinks grapes. We always underestimate how God sees it. They're content with a wedding without wine, a wedding with water. Jesus said, that won't work. We've got to have some wine at this wedding. See, God wants the best for us. He's always wanting us to have the best. And even the master of the feast said, why did you save the best for last? Well, because Jesus did it miraculously. He never does anything cheap, right? So these 12 spies Moses sent into the promised land, and 10 of those spies come back with a natural report, just real facts. I'm just going to tell you how it is. There's giants over there. Yeah, there's a lot of awesome houses and all kinds of jacuzzis and lakes and wealth and all kinds of cool stuff, but we can't have it. There's giants over there. Just too many big people. It's just we get killed. Well, that's a natural report. But God over in Numbers chapter 14 called that an evil report. You know, just reporting the facts can be an evil report if it robs you of faith. If you put facts above truth, it's an evil report. When you say the Bible says this, but that person says that, the Bible says this, but the paper says that, that's evil. It'd be better for you to say, well, the facts are these, but the truth is this. You need to get truth on the right side of your butt. Okay. You get your butt in the wrong place, you're going to be in trouble. You know what I'm saying, right? Always have truth follow your butt, not precede your butt. So facts are this, but the truth says that. Don't ever say, well, the Bible says yet this. Yeah, but you know how it is around here. Right? That's an evil report. So those are 10 of the 12 spies came back with just a natural report. Facts. I'm just reporting the facts. Since when has God ever been limited by facts? He walks on water. The fact is, you can't walk on water. Go look at all the reports. Go to science class. You don't walk on water. But since when did that stop Jesus? And since when did that stop Peter when Peter said, Lord, if that's you, command me to come. What's Jesus going to do? Oh, it's not me. So what did he say? Come. And on one word, Peter said, that's all I need is enough word to walk on. I just need one word to walk on this water. And he began to walk on the water. As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, the source of the word, he walked. The minute he saw the waves, that's when he began to sink. And when he began to sink, he still didn't go under. Jesus caught him, pulled him back up, and he walked back to the boat with the Lord. So if you step out by faith, you might get wet, but you won't drown. Amen. Jesus will never let you drown. All right? He'll snag you up before you drown. Praise God. Amen. So here comes 10 spies out of the 12 giving an evil report. The majority will always talk about the facts. That's true in any church. That's true of any group of people. The majority will always talk doubt and unbelief based on facts. But there were two men, Caleb and Joshua, that came back and said, yeah, there's giants over there. And yeah, they're about 12 feet tall. They're big, but God is able to give us this area. God is able to put us in that land. If God said we can take it, then God will get us there. And the people nearly stoned the two that were talking faith. Here's the truth of the matter. The ratio is one out of six people in your life will talk faith with you. All right? Unless you're at Victor Christian Center. I think we'll raise that standard just a little bit, right? Amen. And, you know, Dad Hagen said this, who taught faith in such a powerful way, raised off a deathbed. He said when he pastored the church, he would often preach this to his congregation. He said, I would rather have drug dealers in my church than doubt peddlers. He said, because doubt peddling is legal, but it'll destroy a church faster than a drug dealer. Because everybody knows the drug dealer's wrong, but other people sympathize with the doubt peddler. And they can create strife. They can kill a vision in a church. They can crucify the pastor, all with their backstabbing, wagging, little unbelieving tongue.
That's right. That's right.
How come that bill's not up yet? Well, why don't you believe God for $3 million and we'll put it up?
Right.
See, doubt peddlers can destroy the work of God. Look, can I give you permission? If people start peddling doubt and unbelief, stop it.
Yes. Yes.
Tell them, hey, man, look, we're walking by faith here,
right,
not by sight. We believe God. We're going to keep believing God, and we're going to keep calling those things that be not as though they already were.
Yes.
And you know, if we'll get all that into agreement and begin to walk by faith and talk by faith, watch what God will do in our generation to reach people for Jesus. Hallelujah. But we're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight.
Yes.
It's a faith walk. Amen. Isn't that good news?
Yes, sir.
You'll have to train yourself to talk the word and not talk the circumstance. Say, so, well, isn't that denial? Absolutely. You're denying the circumstance a right to stay.
Right.
Absolutely. Now, here's 2 Peter chapter 1. We finally got there. It says here in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied to you. Ooh, I mean, multiplied is a good word. Now, how does grace and peace come? Grace means supernatural ability working in your heart. Peace means emotional stability. I've noticed this about people that walk, that hear the message of grace. They may come in half crazy. That's the truth. Can't even sit in church for 10 minutes before they have to go use the bathroom 32 times. They don't have a urine problem. They got a mind problem. I'm not saying, are you talking about me? Well, I mean, I don't know. Or am I? Remember this, that the madman that had the demon cast out of him, had those 2,000 demons, it said after the demons were cast out, there were three things. He was sitting, clothed, and in his right mind. There's three ways you can tell if someone's in the right mind. Do they have clothes on?
Right.
And in this generation, can they sit and listen to the word? If they are, they're in the right mind. Understand, I don't mean this in a wrong way. God's going to send mentally disturbed people to us because Jesus wants to heal them. We need to tolerate crazy people because we were once those people. I'd say, well, that's not nice to use the word crazy. Well, however you want to call it. People that have been addled in their mind, disturbed in their mind, attacked in their mind, mental and emotional disorders, the Lord's going to send them to where Jesus is being preached. And you know what? After a while, what you'll notice, if they'll stay long enough under this word for several weeks, several months, all of a sudden you'll see them. All of a sudden they start, you have to be up here to see it. They start looking at you going, I understand what you're saying. I really get that. I understand what you're... It's amazing that one Sunday or that one Wednesday night when that person won't even look at you while you're preaching. And all of a sudden they're looking at you going, wow, I've never heard that before. Yeah, you have for the past 6 months. But the devil had a hold of your mind. Amen. So peace is multiplied. Emotional stability. When you hear the no condemnation message, how many of you got your peace back when you started hearing no condemnation?
Yes.
Right? I did. Right? Now, he said, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Well, some people's knowledge of God drives them nuts because they think God is just so hard to please. They think if they just do one thing wrong, God's going to withhold something from them. But when you get the real revelation of the goodness and love of God, it will cause grace and peace to be multiplied into your life. Knowing God should not make you fearful. It should make you relaxed. Do you notice that sinners were comfortable around Jesus, the Son of God? You know, it was the bad people that hung out with this God in the flesh. The religious people were very uncomfortable because he kept messing up their rules. He kept eating the wrong food. He kept touching unclean people. He kept touching lepers. A woman with the issue of blood came just flat out in the public and touched his robe. Dude, you're messing up our system here, man. You're healing on the Sabbath. You're breaking laws. Your disciples don't fast when they're supposed to fast. You're hanging out with tax collectors and publicans. You must be a sinner yourself. And thing is, God showed up on the planet, and the worst of the worst were the ones most comfortable with God. That's a radical gospel. And the most moral, church-going, uppity people, they didn't want anything to do with God. You know why? They didn't need God. They were their own God. They didn't need God. It's broken people that find God the fastest. It's addicted people. It's hurting people that'll find God the fastest. But they're the last ones that'll be allowed to do anything in a church. Right? We were those people, right? And we're still struggling with things, but we're coming out of it more and more. Am I right? We don't all have our act together. Come on, you don't have to be perfectly sinless in your behavior for you to be here and enjoy the grace of God. But if you'll keep your eyes on Jesus, he will keep on bringing more and more things into your life, more holiness into your life, and you'll do more holiness by accident than you ever tried to do on purpose. Amen. You didn't start the cleanup process, and you sure can't finish it. I just say we keep our eyes on the one that loves our soul. Isn't it funny? It's the woman that had five men, and the one she was with, she wasn't married to, that was used to reach Samaria as the first evangelist. An adulteress was the one he called into the ministry to reach Samaria. Wow. Not one of the Pharisees. The woman at the well that no other lady wanted to talk to because she was that woman. And God himself showed up in the middle of the day. God walked in the flesh right up to that disqualified, adulterous woman and began to minister by the gifts of the Spirit to her. And she was so excited. She said, "Why, he's told me everything I've ever done." No, he didn't. He gave her like one word of knowledge. And she went into Samaria and reached that whole city. The adulterous woman reached the city of Samaria. That means there's hope for us yet, right? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Now, this word knowledge is interesting. This Greek word was never used ever until after the resurrection. It was never used in the Gospels. I'm going to tell you what this word, it was never used in the book of Acts. It was only used after the resurrection. Paul used it and Peter used it. This word knowledge, I'll quote the word. It won't mean anything to you. Then I'll tell you what it means. It's epignosis. Epignosis. Have you ever heard of an epic novel? Yes. The word epi, it means the best of the best of the best. It's epic, right? Epignosis, the word gnosis means knowledge, but it doesn't just mean book knowledge. It means experience. Adam knew his wife. He didn't read a book about her. He experienced his wife. That's the same thought here is experience, but when you put epi in the front of gnosis, it means an intense personal experience of God. You're experiencing God. You're experiencing his peace. You're experiencing his goodness. So here's what he said: "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the epic experience of God in your life." Hallelujah. Not just book knowledge, but an experience in your heart. You begin to experience. Who all has begun to experience a peace you never had before? You're having an epic experience. Praise the Lord. Now, as his divine power, this was the verse I was trying to get to. As his divine power, not your ability, his, right? Has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the epic experience of him who called us by his glory and by his virtue. Notice it's not your ability that got you those things. It says his divine power has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. There's nothing at the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus that God didn't give you. Everything you'll ever need in life, everything you ever need to do well in life, including supernatural healing, breakthrough in your career, breakthrough in your marriage, healthy with your children, everything you need to have an epic, wonderful experience, he's already given it to you. It's already yours. He's waiting for you to grab a hold of that and latch onto it and walk in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. It's not about moving God to give you something. It's about receiving what he's already given to you. It'd be a good thing to take this verse right here and meditate on it and memorize it. Get it in your mind and heart and say, God, I'd turn it into a prayer. I do myself. God, I thank you that everything that pertains to life and godliness, your divine power has already given it to me. And I thank you I'm experiencing your divine power and your goodness and your provision in every area of my life in Jesus' name. Notice I'm not begging to get it. I'm thanking him that I have it. Amen. Say it out loud. I have everything I need and more. God already gave it to me. Now that'll put you in the place of victory. Say it when you don't believe it. And eventually you'll say it and you will believe it. Amen. Now, this thing. Okay. That was just my first thoughts. Now we're going to preach. I really want us to continue to focus on praying in tongues. How many of you begun to do a little more of that? I'm sensing it. The tide is rising because we're tapping into the covenant. The tide is rising because we're beginning to pray in the Holy Ghost. And those of you that still haven't received the Holy Spirit, don't despair. Hey, man, it took me nearly a year to figure this thing out. It was horrible. It wasn't horrible, but I mean, I was so wanted to be filled with the Spirit. I wanted to pray in tongues. I wanted to experience the fullness of the Holy Spirit. I wanted it. I dreamt about it. I thought about it. I studied it. I bought books about it. I asked questions and questions and tons of questions, and I wanted to. And man, I wanted to receive the Holy Spirit and pray with tongues. And it was about 8 to 10 months. Man, and the more harder I tried, the worse it seemed, the harder it was. And then when I finally spoke with tongues, I was so almost disappointed. I thought, you got to be kidding me. It was that easy? Are you serious? I made that so hard in my mind. And man, tongues started coming out of me. And here's what fought me was my own thinking. Because here was what I was afraid of. I didn't want to get anything that wasn't real. And I so much wanted it to be real that I guess I wanted to feel something so powerful and feel some fire and heat and wind and earthquake and lightning bolts and balls bursting and falling under the power and shaking under the power, and so that all of a sudden it's like, but it never happened. And I kept waiting for that, like that ecstatic, lose the control, eyes rolling in the back of the head, tongues coming out and go, whoa, was that me? It never happened. My imagination was blocking me from the truth. See? And one day in a service, like I said, Leo Price, I was just there, and he said, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit yet, come to the front. And I thought, man, he's going to lay his hands on me, and it's going to be awesome, and he's just going to put his hand there and keep it there until I'm able to really get a hold of that anointing. And man, this is it. Bell, West Virginia. I walk up, one of 12, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, one of 12, and Leo Price walks over to me and says, receive in Jesus' name, with his finger, receive it, and just hit me. I thought, wait a minute, I didn't even have time to receive. You didn't even leave it there long enough. How can the Holy Ghost go through that? The Holy Spirit needs your whole hand. Let the whole hand. It didn't say lay fingers on him. It said lay a hand on him. And my natural mind's thinking, how's the Holy Ghost going to go through something like that? And what's just like, just that. I mean, how in the world? Man, I was upset. And out of my heart, the Holy Spirit, because you have the Holy Ghost in you if you're born again. You're just not filled with the Holy Spirit. And inside of me, he said, I mean, because I've been looking at these verses for 8 or 9 months, 10 months. The Holy Spirit said, did he lay hands on you? I said, no. He laid his finger on me. The Holy Spirit said, as a finger, a part of a hand. Thank God for the mercy of God. He should have just cooked me like bacon and been done with me, you know, be done, like, you know, just fry me and be done with it. Like, dude, really? He said, but the Holy Spirit, so gentle, he said, is a finger a part of a hand? I said, yes. He said, so did he lay his hand on you? I said, yes. He said, so what happened? And see, I had all these verses memorized. I was so eager. He said, what happened in Acts 19:6? I said, Paul laid hands on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. The Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. So he said, according to the word, what just happened to you? See, I'm looking to feel something. He's taking me to the word. You got to act on the word, not on a feeling. I was waiting for this feeling that I read all these charismatic books about these people having fireballs and lightning bolts and visions and heat and fire and chill and wind and voices, and they saw words go across and they just read the words off in the spirit, and it, no words. I didn't get any words, nothing. Heard words audibly and bubbles came up out of their belly, and there's no bubbles coming up. There's no words. There's no words in my ears. There's no bubbles. There's no balls of gas. It wasn't funny then. And the Holy Spirit said to me, here's what he said. What does Acts 19:6 say? I'm not looking for the word. I'm looking for an experience. That's where you get off base. And I said, well, Acts 19:6 says when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Ghost came on them and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. He said, so what just happened to you according to Acts 19:6? I said, Leo laid his finger on me, which is a part of his hand. This is all going on in my mind. And I said, according to Acts 19:6, the Holy Ghost has come upon me. He said, then what should you be doing? I said, speaking with tongues and prophesying. He said, well, go get busy. Start doing it. That's when I understood you need to act by faith. Now, I had to make a decision right then to open my mouth and move my lips and tongue and trust him to give me the utterance. It's faith. Man, no feeling. I'm so glad I didn't receive fireballs, words, audible words, bubbles, heat. I'm so glad because I've been able to help so many people over the past 30-some years receive by just acting on the word. And so I look down the aisle, and the other 11 are all on the floor praying in tongues. I mean, they got slain in the Holy Ghost. They're out on the floor, and I'm like, here's the one dud. And the devil said, yeah, you are. You are a dud. That's what he said to me. And the Holy Spirit said, get busy. Well, I opened my mouth, and I knew it wasn't going to be English. I had enough sense to know I'm not going to pray in tongues in English because I'd seen in the scripture that no man understands, including the one praying. So I decided just to open my mouth and trust whatever it was to be the Holy Spirit. So I it's about that passionate. And my mind said, that's just a bunch of nonsense. That's just a bunch of gibberish. That's what my mind said. Then it dawned on me, that wasn't my mind. That was the devil talking to my unrenewed mind. And so I said to the thought, oh, really? I said, then in the name of Jesus, I'm going to speak gibberish and nonsense to the glory of God until the day Jesus comes. And you can't stop me. And when I said that, that fear of it being fake broke. That fear of just being me broke. And I just, by faith, and within about 20 minutes, it was a full flow. Just a full flow. And then I finally recognized, I sensed it come out of my belly. But the experience came after acting on the word. The experience came after acting on the word of God. And thank God. Now, the mistake I've made over the past 30 years is I didn't pray enough in tongues afterwards. Because at first, we were just taught that's an experience you get when you're filled. And thank God, there's your badge of honor into the Pentecostal church. And you've got your badge. You got your tongue badge. You know, I can be a Pentecostal now, a charismatic now. But the thing is, tongues is not just an initial experience. It is to be used every day, all the time, praying out things, praying out mysteries. Man, you talk about God wanting to just release blessing into your life. It comes through praying in the Spirit. Amen? So we're going to look at a couple scriptures. But Rhea, then, she decided she wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And she came to the church that I was going to. And, the first Sunday didn't go up. I didn't pressure her because she told me to back off, that I was just shoving it too hard. And I was, I'd kiss her and tell her I love her and tell her she'd need to speak with tongues. our dates were me telling her how awesome tongues was, and she was excited for me. She was, but she says, Byron, you got to back off. I'll get it, but I can't do it. I mean, I just can't right now. Just give me time. And one day she went up during a church service in Charleston, West Virginia, and had hands laid on her, and she came back and sat down, and I didn't ask. You know, I just kept my hands lifted, just kept praying, praising the Lord. People were being ministered to. We got in the car, started heading home, and I finally, I couldn't stand the, did she or didn't she, you know? I said, so did you receive the Holy Spirit? She goes, I don't know. I said, well, what do you mean you don't know? Well, all I got was two words, and I think they're Spanish cuss words. I said, wait, I don't know that the Holy Spirit would have you do that. I don't think he'd have you doing that. So we're driving on 64. I'm thinking, Spanish cuss word. I mean, why would the Holy Spirit inspire you to do that? You know, but think about it. The devil told her that. Yeah. Satan hates us praying in tongues. He'll even call it Spanish cussing. Anything to keep her from praying in the Spirit. I said, no, it's not. I said, God's not going to give you that. I said, well, all I got was two syllables. I said, well, just keep using those two syllables to the glory of God. Now, if that's all you ever get, keep praising God with those two syllables till Jesus comes. You got to get to the point where you don't just, you just got to do. You just got to do. I said, just praise him in those two syllables and be happy about it. You know, don't limit God to think if it's only two syllables, the Holy Ghost can't do much with that. Are you kidding me? What about light be? That changed a whole lot of stuff. What about Lazarus come forth? See, we think we don't say much in tongues. And the devil says, well, you know, it's just repetitive. It's just, well, maybe you're saying Lazarus come forth all over the world and people are popping out of graves over in China and India and going, man, what in the world? You know, and you've been saying so-and-so come forth in Indian and in Chinese and in Korean, and there's people popping out of graves all over the place because you're not doing much with those four syllables. You just don't know. Amen. Light B works pretty good for me. Right? So she began to pray faithfully those syllables just out of her spirit, and it grew. That language began to grow and began to grow and began to grow. Now she's fluent in that. Praise God. God wants us walking in the light of this. Now, go with me to Matthew chapter 3, and I want to talk about how the praying in tongues keeps you in the realm of protection and provision. It keeps you in a supernatural realm daily when you pray in tongues. It keeps you where in a place called the love of God. It keeps you in that realm of God's love. Woo, glory to God. Kind of like in his embrace. You know what I'm saying? So here's Jesus in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. Matthew 3:16 was his baptism. And it said, when he was baptized, he came out of the water, immediately up from the water. And behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. But notice the next verse. The first thing that's said to him when the Holy Spirit comes on him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. What's the first thing the Holy Spirit told Jesus? Your Father loves you. See, the Holy Spirit's first ministry is to remind you of how loved you are. The first thing Jesus heard when he was filled with the Spirit in the River Jordan, when he was baptized with the Spirit, is, you are well beloved and you're well pleasing. You know, that's before Jesus ever preached a sermon. That's before he cast out any demon. That's before he did anything in the ministry. Jesus didn't work to earn God's love. He worked out of a revelation of God's love. Hallelujah. And when you're praying in tongues, you know what the Holy Spirit's saying over and over? You're the one God loves. You're the one God loves. Oh, you're the one. You're well pleasing. You're the one God loves. Praise God. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, notice that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. I don't know why the Holy Spirit would do that, but he did. Right? Verse 2, notice this. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Verse 3. And now when the tempter came to him, he said, if... That's one of the most dangerous words you'll ever hear. If. Because God, you'll see something in the Bible and you'll hear, well, if that was true, then how come if I am healed, then why is this happening? Or you'll have well-meaning friends say, well, if God loves you, why did that happen to you? If is the badge of doubt. Don't wear that badge. So Satan says, well, if you are the Son of God, now remember, God had just said that Jesus was. So here's Satan counteracting and contradicting the word Jesus just heard. Don't be surprised if you hear get contradictory things happening after you hear the word. Satan's out to convince you it's not true. Right? If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Here's what Satan wants Jesus to do. He wants Jesus to prove that he is who God says he is by Jesus earning it with his works. Satan always wants you to try to prove who you are to God when God already says you're already that. That's what he did to Adam. He said, well, if you will eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be like God. And Adam goes, hey, that's a cool idea. When Adam ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he stepped into unbelief, not believing that what God said about him was already true. This is Satan's attempt to get Jesus to walk in unbelief, to do something to prove that what God said was true is true. Amen. Do y'all see that? But notice what he left out of this phrase. He didn't say to Jesus, if you are the beloved Son of God. He omitted that. He said, if you are the Son of God. Satan did not even want to suggest that Jesus was beloved. Satan will always take beloved out of that phrase. He doesn't want you to know God loves you. Because the minute you know God loves you, Satan's days are done. He's defeated. Right? And so what did Jesus say in verse 4? Good answer here. This is a really cool answer. He answered and said, it is written. Thank God Jesus knew what was in the word. He said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Number one, the word, every word is the word rhema. It means everything God is speaking, not just writing. You know, you can read the Bible and never hear God talk to you. You need to read the word in a way of saying, I'm going to read the Bible today and listen to the Lord talk to me. That's the attitude. This is God speaking to us. Don't read this as a history lesson. Read this as, I'm going to read and just let the Lord talk to me. So he said, by every word that proceeds, the word proceeds here is the present tense. It means the word that is currently proceeding from God's mouth. And what word was currently proceeding from God's mouth? You are my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. I don't even need bread right now as long as I can feed on the bread of his love. Amen. You know, a lot of people are addicted and overeating and blowing their bodies up, not because they're starving for bread, but because they're starving for love. Amen. Amen. Now, here then, we see that Jesus knew the love of God, and because he had a revelation that God loved him, he was able to resist Satan's temptations. I'm going to give you a pointer as parents. Your kids need to know that you love them. They need to go to school every day knowing, in spite of how much discipline they may be under, and kids need to be disciplined too. But don't ever discipline a kid in the way that says, I reject you. Always discipline in a way, I love you, but I'm not accepting that behavior. Make sure they understand you're disciplining the behavior, you're not rejecting the person. Amen. Kids crave order. Well, mine don't. Yes, they do. And they'll tell you when they get older how much they appreciate it. We need to get order back in our families. Loving discipline, loving order. Amen. That's another sermon altogether. But God the Father wanted to make sure that Jesus went out into the fight of life knowing that he was fully beloved and fully loved. Amen. Now, I'm not going to go much longer, but Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. How many of you want to see your faith work all the time? There's a secret here. There's a secret to your faith just always receiving from God all the time. I mean, receiving financial breakthroughs, receiving peace, receiving, just receiving constantly from God. There's a secret to how your faith will constantly work. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything. Well, you know, circumcision is what they said you had to do to become accepted to God. You had to do something in your flesh to be a real Christian. And then if you get circumcised, that means you keep the Ten Commandments and all 613. And he says, in Christ, it doesn't matter whether you are religious or not religious. What matters is faith working through love. What does that mean? The more you understand how much God loves you, the more your faith will work and operate. The more you understand the love of God for you, the revelation of the love of God, the more your faith will work. Faith works by the revelation of God's love for you. Hallelujah. Amen. You know God loves you. He loves you more than you even love yourself. Praise God. I was reading a testimony by Andrew Womack when he first came out of, and this really stood out to me. He was coming from Vietnam, and he came back to Texas with his wife, Jamie. They got married. He said they didn't have anything. They just were barely able to make it. In fact, they were hurting so bad financially, they were living off of potato chips and pop. Because some truck driver, 2 weeks before, had given him a case of pop for free and a bag of corn chips. And they were living off of sharing a couple corn chips a day and pop. That's all they had. That's how financially far gone they were. And so one day they had a few quarters left, and she took the car to go down to the laundromat with the last few quarters they had to wash the clothes. And Andrew just went into his bedroom and just really began to cry. He said, God, I don't mind going through this, you know, but I sure don't want to put my wife through this. I don't mind believing you, because he had decided to go into full-time ministry with just five people in his church. That's faith. And so he starts to cry. God, why are we going through this? I thought, you know, you wanted me to be in the ministry. I thought that you cared for me. And he was just crying out to the Lord. And when he was crying out to the Lord gave, the Holy Spirit gave him a verse. Odd enough. God will always lead you in line with the word. And it says in Luke chapter 11, verse 32, where Jesus said, it is my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom. And that revelation hit him. He said, oh, you've given your whole kingdom to me. I don't know what verse. It's in there somewhere. You've given the whole kingdom to me. He said, God, you do love me. You don't want me living on pop and potato chips. You do want me to be blessed. You want me to have an overflow of finances. And the revelation came back in his heart that God wasn't the one withholding all that from him, but that God loved him. Okay? Well, Jamie comes back home, and they go to church that night. At church that night, after the service was over, one of the men said to Andrew, he said, could you come over to our house? We just want to have you come over. And he said, sure. I mean, what else are you going to do? Go home and eat a potato chip, you know? Well, they went over, and he said, he's thinking, here it is. Here's the answer. Oh, here it is. Well, they sat down, and the man just wanted to talk for an hour. Just an hour. Just wanted to talk. And Andrew thought, man. This is ridiculous, you know. And as they're getting ready to leave, the man said, hey, wait, before you and Jamie go, he said, I've got a box full of fish, big box full of fish. He said, I want you all to have that. The Lord just told me to give it to you. And I've got a bunch of fruits and vegetables I want you to have. Take that on home with you. Oh, he said, man, they were so excited. He said, I brought it to you today around 12:15. He said, but no one was home. So my wife had to bring it back. That's why we had you over tonight. At 12:15 was the very minute that Andrew got the revelation of the love of God. It was about 12:05, and the woman left her house prompted at 12:05 to come to his house. The minute he got the revelation of the love of God, his faith began to work and provision began to come. Faith works by knowing God loves you. And it stopped that dam. It stopped that provision. See, it wasn't that God wasn't getting it. He was cutting it off with his own heart. Then it was a week or so later, a man had a bunch of porterhouse steaks and gave him just a boatload of steaks. He said, we had steak morning, noon, and night for several weeks. You know, but what happened? The revelation of love began to dawn in his heart again, and it opened his heart, and that flow, that faith began to work. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yes. Now I want to go to one more verse. Jude chapter 19. This is where tongues comes in. Jude verse 19. There's no chapters in Jude. It's just one verse. Jude verse 19. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. He's talking about people, and it's very similar to the ones nowadays that we have in our society that's always trying to create division and overthrow the government and always just the stuff going on. He said these kind of people are sensual persons. And the word sensual here is the word soulish. It's the word psychical. They're just soulish. All about their mind, all about their emotions. They don't know anything about their spirit. These unsaved people, they're sensual. One translation says they're devilish. Okay? They're devilish, sense-led persons who cause divisions. Why? Not having the Spirit. Not having the Holy Spirit. Notice how having the Holy Spirit will cause you to overcome sensuality. Amen. But here's the answer. Next verse, verse 20. He said, but you, unlike those sensual people led by their souls, he said, but you, beloved, notice the word beloved is in there. Don't you love that? Building yourselves up on your most holy faith. Most holy faith. Say this out loud. Most holy faith. Most holy faith. Do you know the faith inside of you is most holy? That means it works. It's most holy. All right? But how do you build yourself? It didn't say build your faith up. It doesn't say build your faith up. It said build yourselves up on your faith. Right? How? Praying in the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to pray in the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 14, 2 says, when I speak with tongues, I don't speak to men, but unto God, for no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. This is talking about praying in tongues. Build yourself up praying in tongues. Now, notice what happens. That's a comma, not a full stop at the end. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Here's what he's saying. There's a bunch of crazy people just being led by their mind and their emotions, being led by their senses, just sensual people causing strife and division. He said, they don't have the Holy Spirit, but you're different. You have the Holy Ghost. And if you want to rise above all of this stuff, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God where your faith is constantly working all the time. Amen. The Amplified Version in verse 19 says this, and it was a revelation when Rhea and I were going through a real difficult time back in December, and then I'll wrap it up. Back November, December, we were going through some really just tough stuff with her sister, whom we love dearly, and she was in the hospital and working through some very hard things, and we're going back and forth to West Virginia, and the Lord's dealing with me because there was just an onslaught of things that happened to her and I. We won't even go into the details. But these past 3 months have been the hardest months of my life. Really have been. All right, things have happened. I'm not going to magnify the devil. I don't need to. But here's what happened. I said, Lord, what do I do? He said, pray in tongues much. He said, when much, I mean all the time. Not 10 minutes a day. Build yourself up. See, it's not up to God to build you up. It's up to you to build you up. It's not up to God to build you. It's not up to me to be. I can't build you up. The Holy Ghost can build you up when you pray in tongues. That's your responsibility. Don't go around like a flat tire, expecting to make progress, like pumping a tire up. Build yourself up in tongues. Amen. And so I was reading this, and the impression that I had about this is that, you know, you pray in tongues yesterday, and that took care of yesterday, but here comes today, and we got to pray in tongues all over again and try to catch up with today's problems. I don't know how I got that idea. And I'm reading in the Amplified, it says, but you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Ooh. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. And here's what the Lord showed me. He says, as you're praying in the Spirit, you are building a huge building, a huge arsenal, one brick at a time. One edifice at a time. You're building a castle made for a king. And he said, what you prayed yesterday can't be taken away. That brick's already in place. What you pray in tongues today is more bricks added to that arsenal. He said, if you keep praying in tongues day after day, week after week, month after month, you're going to get to the point where Satan absolutely has no opportunity because you have built such a huge arsenal of a fortress. There's just no place for him to get access. Because you spent time building that thing. I said, man, I should have started that 40 years ago. The Lord said, don't look back. You're not fit. If you look back, you're not fit. Don't look back. He said, look forward because the days ahead are better than the days behind. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. So I want to do this. I want us to pray in the Spirit for 2 minutes. Can we do that? Amen. And again, you don't have to sit there. You can stand if you want to. We've been sitting long enough. If you want to walk the aisles, we're going to pray for 2 minutes in the Holy Ghost. And just we're talking to God. Listen, we're talking to the Lord. Y'all ready? Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we're just going to yield to you now and talk to the Father. Ebrogadivishe. Embrovogadea. Sebrofoshimanate. Membrokadivese. Brovarbi. Ambrokalisam. If you're not filled, just then talk to him in English. He hears you in English. Talk to him. Tell him you love him. Tell him you love him. Hallelujah. Baraseka. Barasata. Or just yield to the Holy Ghost and start praying in tongues. Thank you, Father. Korebea, korabaya, solavia, solabola, sokanada, sechibia, lakonamase, urebeshete, romanasela, dormaka, dambro hoshekre, dambo horobeshe lavanso, more medeshe, provreze la rixta mana, insel of roborokede, yana manira boro korebe vela shingrastata, yala, sila, broge, vesha, mora, mas, kalitska, do bolivraste. Yambro vrose veste gizambukla zivakale zingla stadele vachiko hasete. Inya nolama. So manila. So manila dala da rascendo romraso. So remede so remese cali. Combre gila romba della roba della vrasa ses glanzivan. Jambro go se vrimzinana. Bonzongo nulum benea. Zono molen vrenzenana. Boro moro venzenana. Bo renche cantele vrebeseste che lo roco salingro sabaelekea. Ya, yamotala, yamotala, yatavala che se vea, macalofo umbateche. Yanga nimo so colen breves so che te vesce. O gloma se glensing zansa popolateche. O presasato popole vecte. O prandisangele vesce colo. Matele vrema. Sanilana mandele de beata. About another 40 seconds. So rebe, so rebe. Sol rebe, sota, 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 amba, ila, soda, gije de bodo gola gudu nina hane idana, kogo go de mana gede din sanana makadana, go moro boro vrede bese vrede banse lengro bo frem, zani ane ambo bo vo soto she krisi sa so bo vola, ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Brozebea. Boragaya. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, 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 thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the love of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for praying in tongues. Thank you for this supernatural means of help. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you that we're filled with the Spirit and building ourselves up on our most holy faith. In Jesus' name, glory, 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 cry me. Now they're saying, it seems like I saw somebody either dealing with sickness in their body or afraid of a certain type of sickness, afraid you're going to have or do have something, or afraid, I sense this a fear attached to this area of sickness, and I seems like the Lord just wants us to lay hands on you and to minister to you. And break that fear off of you. If you've had an issue of being afraid of a certain disease, that you may have it or you might get it or somebody around you may have it or whatever, if that speaks to you, I need you to come up front right now. I need you to come on up front right now. Yeah, come on up front. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I also saw myself laying hands on you, too. I see that if you would allow us to lay, I don't know why, but he wants you to be ministered to, probably just because he loves you, I'd say. Glory to God. I want a couple of ladies, Emily and Pastor, to lay hands on her. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. How many of you will just agree to keep praying in the Holy Ghost? Thank you, Father.
So all the devil can do is lie to us. That's all he's got. That's all he's got. All he can do is tell us a lie. And the only way he has any power to do anything in our lives is if we agree with it up here. Up here is where it's going on. If he says my house smells like gas and it's going to explode, it's a lie. I have to disagree with him. And when people ask me what I'm going to do, I have to disagree and say nothing's wrong. It's a simple thing. We've got to disagree with the lies of the devil because we're full of truth. The truth is in us. It dwells in us, but we have to disagree with the lie that you're alone, you're going to stay alone. No, I'm not. I'm never alone. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. This isn't going to work out. This is going to cause a problem. This trip is going to fail. This situation at work is going to fail. No, it's not. Love never fails, and love lives inside of me. So it's not, we refuse to agree with the lies that are coming at us up here. He doesn't have an axe or a hammer he can hit us with. He can't just come up and blindside us and knock us off our feet physically. He can whisper in our ear, and the more that we're speaking in tongues and praising God and we're putting on praise and worship, we're getting in life group and speaking life to one another, we're saying, well, that's a lie. You say, no, you don't understand. This is what they said. And the life group is allowing us to come into connection and say, that's a lie. I have to disagree with you. Let's agree on the truth that you're healed. Let's agree on the truth that this situation at work is going to work out. So that's all the devil has is lies. He did it from the start. He lied to him. He said, you don't have enough. And what we have living inside of us is the truth to continue to say, that's a lie. My Father calls me his beloved. I'm his beloved. He's pleased with me. He's not going to do that to me. So it's awesome that we can just disagree with the lie that comes into our heart, comes into our mind. Sometimes it's spoken out loud by people around us, and to say, no, it's nothing serious. This isn't serious. What's happening is this. And it's awesome to know that's all we have to do. Just disagree with the lie. Just disagree, and we smile. We say, well, that's not true. And we can help each other and say, that's not true. That's not what's going to happen. This is a little thing. It's on its way out. This bill's paid. This situation with my health is clearing up. It's clearing up. So it's awesome that we have the truth living inside of us. And as we pray in tongues and we are in the Word and we're in community together, we're building that truth up in our mouths.
Father God, I thank you for this awesome time of gathering together on Wednesday nights. And Father God, I don't know what's going on in everybody else's lives, but right now, just as John said, I rebuke the lies. I say, let there be light to the darkness, whatever that may be for whoever that may be for. Father God, I thank you for your revelation of speaking in tongues, how tremendous a revelation it is. Father God, I thank you for those here who are sitting under the sound of this word. Maybe they haven't received that gift yet, but it is a gift just like salvation available for every child of God. And so I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working on the hearts of those who are sitting under this message, and you're working on the hearts of those who are spirit-filled, causing them to be aware of how powerful a resource, how necessary a resource it is. Father God, I speak the peace that passes all understanding as you promised in your word as we continue our week. Whatever chaos, whatever situations arise, I speak peace before it even happens. And Father God, may your Holy Spirit continue to make us aware that that peace can be activated and accessed by speaking in tongues. I thank you, Father God, for your grace, for your mercy. And I just give you all the glory in your name. Amen.